Hallelujah. Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians 14. Put a marker in a chapter we've never been to, Romans 8. One aspect of this morning's message I believe he wants to continue with. See, when it really comes right down to it, one of these days, should the Lord tarry, we're going to stand before him. Well, whether he tarries or not, we're going to stand before him, actually, at the judgment seat of Christ. What I meant was it's either, you know, before certain events or after. But anyway, we're going to stand before him one day and give account of the things we did in the body, whether good or bad. And the way that's worded is so precise to me. Good intentions apparently won't count. I intended to pray. I was going to fast. I was going to cut down on my football watching. By the way, I've had so many people ask me if the third idol, you know, you heard about Tim ratted me out, right? He told me, well, I did it first. First one was too much time on football. Second one was too much time watching the news. And I've had, I don't know how many people ask me, because they hear me talk about it, is the third one Starbucks? I wish it was Starbucks. That would be good. It's a little worse than that. But we are going to stand before him and give account of our life. And at this church, you know, if I'd have wound up spending most of my life or all of my life in a denominational church, and I thank God for the denominations, I mean, at least the one where I come from, Southern Baptists will flat get you saved now. I mean, they preach the cross and they preach the blood of Jesus, and you got to be saved, you ugly sinner. I mean, you know, thank God for them, you know, and they get people saved, but I would never have got filled with the Holy Ghost there and found out about the leadership that comes that way by the Holy Spirit. You do receive the inner witness, which is really your spirit. It's your spirit now who's born with the Ten Commandments in you. You're born with that, you know, with the law, with that part, a conscience. Let's say a conscience in you. So you have that witness. Do this, don't do that. That's okay. That's not okay. You know, I'm married. Get away from me. You know, not with your wife. That's that other woman. Right? Get away. But you're born with that. And there is a lot of leadership, and we're going to be there in a minute. That's Romans. Over in 8, where it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And most King James Bibles has a capital S there, but he's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's talking about you used to follow the flesh because you had the nature of the flesh. But now you still got the flesh, but now you've got a new spirit on the inside of you that's born of God, that has the Ten Commandments born in its brain at the new birth. You've got to learn to follow that spirit, follow that nature, rather than your flesh. There's a warfare that you're going to have till the day you die, because that flesh is not dead. Has anyone but me noticed that? Okay, now, you know, the old nature is dead, but my flesh, tell me. So, well, the thing of it is, though, see, there really is a plan of God. There is a plan of God. And somebody was asking me some good questions today, and I thought, well, I've never really taught on this. Really, Dave is the Rembrandt, the Picasso, when it comes to finding God's plan for your life. I'm going to recommend to you again, there's a good book on the market. I really recommend it. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. I recommend that book. You can download it for free, by the way, at Dave's website in a multitude of languages. You know, I recommend you download it in the language that you know. I'm having a good time. I can't help it. I'm happy. I'm going to heaven. I'm happy. Glory to God. Happy. But finding that plan, how do you find that plan? And it wasn't until we came here. So I recommend the book to you. Also, I made a little bit of a mistake last Sunday. In this sense, you know, I grabbed a few of the series that were available in the library. And I just grabbed a handful. What was there? I just grabbed a handful at random and brought them up here. And then I started talking about them because we're talking about you. Well, not just you. Everybody that's connected with this vision. You need the revelations that have been taught through Pastor Dave down through the years. You need those. And if you don't have them. So I grabbed a handful. I remember one of them was meditation imagery and delivery. One of them was Satan's war machine. And so people took that I meant, just listen to these. No, I mean, listen to all of them. All of them. You need every one of those. One person put it this way. All of those series, once you have them in you, it's like now you have the DNA of the prayer center. And if you don't have them in you, you don't really have the full DNA sequence. You've got gaps, you know. And now they've added some fairly new series. It's called Advanced Studies on the Born Again Trail. And if you're not familiar, it's at daveroberson.org. You click on Media. These are under the series, weekly series. And there's a title there that says Advanced Studies. Well, don't go to the advanced studies if you haven't done these studies, okay? Get those in you first, you know, the basics of fasting. What I'm going to teach on tonight is the basics of finding God's plan. I mean, this is about as simple as it gets. But you've got to have this, you know? You're going to the prayer center. You're going to stand before Him one day. Say, well, did you ever find my plan for your life? No. I did my plan. I appreciate that. I wish you would have found my plan. He said, why didn't you find my plan? Didn't you sit under Dave's... You went to the prayer center? You sat underneath that teaching? Well, some of it. Some of it I listened to. Some of it I... See, and then there's a difference between listen to and applying. You know. Anyway, let's talk about finding God's plan. I recommend one of them... I better not do that. Get the basics in you first. Okay, I have to do it. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight is the change in God's plan between the Old Testament saints before the cross and what happens to you now, whether you're Jew or Gentile, when you get saved. There's been a change in the plan. See, things don't remain static. Things change. Gary is going to live a mere 150 years. 120? Okay, 120 years. Somebody cut me back 30. Okay, 120 years, whatever. I'm trying to make a point. I'm going to live a long time. But see, compared to the time that the earth has already existed with people on it, it's like a blink of an eye. Well, I'm trying to find my little 120 years within the overall thousands of years of God's plan. He has an overall plan, and I'm living during a certain time period of that plan. And then within that time period, there's Gary's plan. The book of Gary. The mind of Christ for Gary. Okay? Am I going to find it or not find it? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. 1 Corinthians 14. And in the length of time we have tonight, I'm just going to skip a stone across the water. Okay? We're just going to hit here and there. For in-depth teaching, listen to Tongues for the Believer. Listen to even the fasting series. Read Dave's book, for crying out loud, and read it more than once. You know, I used to be in the habit of reading it every 6 months. I did that for 2 or 3 years. Then I kind of fell out. Well, the other day I had to get back, had to answer some questions. I got back into it and I went, I might need to read this again. I'm telling you, it's not a book that you can just read once or twice and be done with it. It's too full of revelation knowledge. And it's very unworldly. The thinking in there is not what you get from ABC, NBC, or the Fox News Network. It's a different mind in that book than you find in the world. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speak in mysteries. Now, just first little tidbit. The fact that he says no man understands him, right there you know there is more than one diversity of tongue. Because in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, that manifestation of tongues as they were stumbling around like drunk men, what was it that caught the attention of the people? There was a festival going on, and people were there. It lists a whole bunch of different countries. So you had all these different people that speak different languages. They knew these were all Jews. But they're walking around, and the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak to those men in their native tongue, declaring the great glories of God. At that tongue was man understands you. This tongue here, the one he's talking about now, this is the tongues for your personal edification. And when you're praying it, no man understands it. Not even you at that moment. He tells you a little more about that further down. That's why your soul likes to do anything but pray in other tongues. My soul would rather trim in the hedges and mow the lawn. And trust me when I tell you, yard work is my idea of having nothing to do. It's all people love, gardening and yard work. I'm not that person. But when I make a decision to start praying in tongues, it won't be 15 minutes and I start thinking, boy, my yard really needs mowing. And that's in January. No, anyway. I'm teasing a little bit. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. Okay. But, okay. So that lets you know right there, there's more than one diversity. And actually, there's four. There's four different kinds of tongues. We're not going to get into that tonight. I recommend a book to you. How be it, or this is how it be, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. See, you yourself, the really reborn you are a spirit. Your Father is a spirit. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, okay, just so you don't have to take my word for it, come down to verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my what is praying? My spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, this lets you know that there is a spiritual mind and there is a natural mind. He has a chapter 8 of his book is the best that I've ever read on that subject. And he starts with a vision that the Lord gave him. But you have a spiritual mind. You remember Lazarus and the rich man? They both died, and the rich man wound up in hell and Lazarus wound up in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man could see Lazarus, but his body's in the ground. What do you mean you can see him? It's his spirit there. It's his spirit that's in hell. What do you mean you can see him? Your spirit man has eyes. He says, I would that you would send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger. Wait a minute. Lazarus' body is buried somewhere. So Lazarus' spirit, in order to do that, would have to have tips of fingers. And that he would touch the tip of my tongue, you know. You know, I love how Dave says it. So we know that your spirit man at least has eyes, fingers, and tips of a tongue. If it has those parts, doesn't it stand to reason that your spirit man would have the other parts? You have a spiritual mind, a brain, within your natural mind. And that's where the communication between you and the Holy Ghost really happens. God, I love that. Once I understood that, I said, see, and if I drug up a chair right here, if this represented the Holy of Holies curtain in the Old Testament, that up there is the Holy of Holies. My spirit can go right in there because it's born of God. My soul, it has to take a chair and, I mean, it tries to get in there. It can't get in there. It's a natural part of me. It's the part that's got to be renewed, right? So while I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is in there having a good time. My spirit and the Holy Ghost. Communicating spiritual mysteries back and forth. I know me. I'm a good student. My spirit man is, what? Really? No kidding? Wowza, wowza. And my soul, my understanding is sitting outside the curtain. It's going, I guess I better get a chair. Go get a chair, sit down. Wish I sitting there bored, you know, listening. Jabber, jabber. Didn't make any sense at all. Should have bought Field and Stream. TV Guide, something. Football journal, I don't know, whatever. Best thing to do is bring your Bible. Sit out there and read your Bible while you're praying in other tongues. But see, once your spirit man, once he's in there, once he gets it, once some mystery, a revelation from the Word, or some portion, the next portion of God's plan for your life, something, or maybe you need to love your wife, or whatever. Something, whatever it is, it's really your spirit, I think, that opens the curtain. And your soul is sitting out here in the chair, bored. Your spirit goes, hey, check this out. And suddenly that information is passed across from your spiritual mind to your natural mind. And that understanding comes. That's why it says here that you, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're edifying yourself. See, now look, verse 2 again. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now that prophesying there is not like we think all the time, yeah. No, what would happen then, and they didn't have a New Testament in these churches in these days. The teachers and preachers, the fivefold, they would go spend time with God, time praying in the Holy Ghost. They would study the Old Testament scriptures. But as they got revelation, they would come and they would declare that to the church. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, we speak those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. Hopefully, every preacher is teaching those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. See? So the church is edified, but notice, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. But the way Dave says that is perfect. The reason is the same. When I come, or Dave, let's say Dave, when Dave comes out and he's prayed another mystery. Oh my God, when you listen to that advanced series called Our Glorified Bodies, if you can listen to that without having a running fit. I listened to it last year on the way to Columbus, Ohio. I was doing a meeting up there, driving a rental car, and I was thanking God I had good insurance on that rental car. That thing was all over the rock. What? Dave, back up. What? Say that again? What? Because I've read those passages in the New Testament where at the, in the veil and the resurrection and all that. Did you ever read that? The rents were rocked. The rocks were rent. And there were some that come out of the graves. Have you ever heard anybody teach about that in your life? I never had either. It's on that series. It's a mystery that Dave got. First, it edified him. Then when I heard it on that MP3 player, it edified Gary. When you hear it, it'll edify you. It's the church. See, the process is the same. When you're speaking an unknown tongue, you're edifying yourself. Because you're learning the mysteries. You're learning the mysteries for your particular walk with God. But then when you come out and you tell the revelations like Dave teaches us or like I did this morning, now you're edifying the whole church. Amen? All right. We have to jump down a little bit because we want to get to Romans 8 here tonight. All right, so come on down to verse 14 again. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, at that moment, it is. Endurance is the key. You have to keep on. But see, if with teaching like this, and if you get all of the DNA of Dave's revelations in you, that encourages you to keep on praying after the, quote, excitement, which there isn't much, wears off. The only thing that really would keep me going into ugly building, man, I'm looking for that next revelation. I'm looking, or the next anything from God. It's not always a revelation. It's an assignment, anything, you know, to hear from him. My spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Else, well, now shalt bless with the spirit. How shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say, amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest. For verily thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. See? I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. I would probably be ashamed if God could resurrect Paul for a week. And Paul and I were like, you know, my assignment for that week is to be elbow to elbow with Paul. Go where he goes, do what he does, just be with him. How many of you would like that? By the way? Anyway, I think I would. I might not. Because I got a feeling that whatever my prayer life is like, I don't think it's going to match his. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. But notice, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It doesn't do any good to just come for me to come and stand here and speak in tongues unless the Lord was to give you the interpretation. No, this is the praying in tongues is away from here. The time when we assemble, that's the time to receive the understandings that came by those praying in tongues. God, that was good right there. I like that. So, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. How would I do that? In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Those tongues, he just got through saying here, if you keep it in the context, they were designed to bring you the very mysteries, all of those things that we want to know. God, what is your plan for my life? Is there a plan for my life? How do I find it? If I'm 40 miles away from it, how do I get right to the center of your plan? All right, let's go to Romans 8 now. Look at this. Romans 8. We're talking about the overall plan of God and then finding your place in that plan. And it exists. That's the thing. It took a long time for me to be convinced it exists. The way I grew up, here was the plan. Get saved, be nice, and go to heaven and pay your tithe. And it was really up to you, you know. Eventually, you got to decide, am I a teacher? Am I a missionary? Well, everything had passed away pretty much except pastor, missionary, and Sunday school teacher. You know, they had those, okay? I don't want to go in. And really, you pretty well made that decision. You might go to seminary and school and everything, but eventually you pretty well decided what you are. You don't get to decide what you are. God makes you what you are. These gifts are from Jesus. He gave gifts unto men. First of all, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, so forth and so on. Romans 12, you find out there's a whole lot more than just the fivefold. Those that exhort, those that give, those that show mercy, those that serve, all kinds of ministries and operations in the body of Christ. There aren't just five things in my body. I mean, I have a heart. I have five organs I could think of, but I got a pancreas. You know, it never gets any glory. But I'm really glad I have one. I don't know what it does, but I'm glad it's in there doing its pancreas work. You know, all the parts of the body, they tell me I got lymph nodes. Well, for God's sake, what do they do? I don't know. But I'm glad they're in there, and I'm glad they're doing what they need to be doing. See, well, there's many parts to the body. Okay, not just five. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Well, Paul, like a master architect, has been, in the first seven chapters leading up, has been showing the dilemma of the old man, the man really under the old covenant, particularly the Jew, who had been given the law of God, told to keep it, yet he had no nature to keep it. And it's culminated in Romans 7, which we don't have time for detail. But the man in Romans 7 is in agony. He's going, with my mind, you notice how it's worded? With my mind, God, I agree. Your law, it's good and righteous and holy. I make up my mind, I'm going to keep your law. But then I set out to do it. Yeehaw. I set out to do it, and that evil thing I was never going to do again, I wind up doing it. And that good thing I was going to do, like giving or fasting or whatever, well, I never did quite get around to that. He says, who will deliver me from this body of death? You can almost hear the guy's agony. And then Romans 8. Thank God there's a Romans 8. My God. Let's start there. Just verse 1. Well, let's back up into chapter 7, verse 24. Verse 23. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There it is. That's the law of sin, passed down to every human born of Adam and Eve, born with a spiritually dead nature, a sin nature. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Well, that's the dilemma. I want to keep it, God. I've got your law in my mind, but there's something wrong with me at my core. Yeah, it's called a sin nature. Thank God for chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That should be a little S. Every time you find the word Spirit in here, there should be a little S until verse 16. If you don't agree with that, I recommend to you The Born Again Trail by Pastor Dave Roberson. Line by line, week after week, lovingly, he taught us again and again and again until we finally got it. Okay? We walk. See, the whole thing is God had to take out that old stony heart, that sin nature, that fallen flesh spirit. He had to rip it out, just take it out. And he said, I want to put a new heart in you, a heart of flesh. And it's a pliable, moldable in the hand of God. An old stony heart, it's gone. He put a new heart in you that can be molded by the hand of God. And so the goal is to not any longer walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's that little S. That's that new man on the inside. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that should be little S, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now right there is Dave's series. Sin shall not have dominion over you. When I first heard that, I was smoking like a freight train. But it was the truth anyway, and I needed to hear it. And I held on to it, even though at that moment I couldn't walk free. But Dave says, as long, God will walk through hell with you and your faults. Amen. As long as you don't start justifying them or saying sin is not sin when it is, and you continue to do those things that will one day spell out your freedom, such as confessing the word, praying in the spirit, fasting, worship, all of the things that are taught here. And he was absolutely right. Go into the holy of hope. Well, my flesh couldn't really go in there, but go pray in tongues. I'll tell this. God, he makes me tell this almost every time. You know, I prayed at that ugly building. Well, the ugly building was only about 10 by 12 square. And in the wintertime, of course, in the summertime, I'd open it up and air it out. But in the wintertime, it's cold. I got a little heater in there, smoking like a freight train. One time, a friend of mine come over, and he opened that door. Wintertime, trust me, the cloud that enveloped him was not the Shekinah glory. It was so strong, he went... Woo! What have you been doing in here? He said, I've been praying in other tongues. He said, well, good. See, most churches, I'd have been kicked out. They'd have called me everything but saved. See, thank God for our pastor. Thank God for our pastor. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I don't have time to go through this line upon line. Dave did that for us on the Born Again Trail. If you haven't been down it, you need to go down it. But now, come down to verse 16. This is the first time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this chapter. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, itself bears witness with our spirit. There it is. Got the two spirit, God the Holy Spirit. He is bearing witness with my reborn human spirit that we are the children of God. This whole chapter is talking about how this spirit that God gave us at the new birth, how it has empowered us to walk free from sin. And it has. And there's lots of things. If you follow that plain leadership, what we often call the inner witness, you don't even have to understand always with your mind. You know, should I go to that movie or not go to that movie? You know, something in you says don't go. I wouldn't go. Should I eat this third slice of pie or not eat this third slice of pie? Anyway. There's a yes, no, green light, red light. That's the inner witness. And it's, I mean, and it, boy, it'll talk. You start talking real sin now. You just think about stealing something. You just tell a lie and walk away. Now you go into the woodshed. You're going to be getting a whooping. Daddy is correcting you. You can't get away with that. Immediately, you can't take five, you can't take two steps away from that situation. And he's going to be saying, go turn around and apologize. Admit what you did. Come on now. Come on. That's the inner witness, see? But now, we have more than... Yes, sir. Jesus walked sin-free by the power... He didn't do it as God. Now, he is God in the flesh. But he didn't do anything as God. He walked sin-free for 30 years before he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's the witness. We have that. There's enough power in the new nature alone. We have no excuse for sin. And I'm preaching to me more than I'm probably preaching to you. I'm the guy that smoked for 30 years. No, 42 years. Holy, goodness, thank you, Lord. Hey, my dad didn't quit smoking until he was 72 and lived to be 93. I got good genes. Glory to God. Anyway, but I feel good. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
But so the power of it's a strong power that God gave us. It breaks the power of sin. But see, he gave us something even more than that. And that's what we have here in Romans 8. Let me find it here. Yes, come down to verse 26, our famous verse. Likewise, or you could say in the same way, the Spirit, and this one should be a capital S. He's talking about the Holy Ghost here. Also, well, if you underline anything, underline the word also. What he means is, in addition to all that help, all that power that you got with the new nature, God gave you even more than that. And God, the Holy Ghost himself, also helpeth our infirmities. One of the biggest infirmities we have is that question I get so often in the prayer line, even more so at other churches than I do here. The question is, I need direction. I need God's plan for my life. Well, why do we need that? Because in our natural selves, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know. There's nothing in our natural mind at the new birth that tells you God's plan. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for us. Say it out loud. Intercession for us. Say it this way. Intercession for me. For me, she knew. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And for years I didn't know what that meant. And duh. Jane, see the ball. Why can't I utter it? Because he just got through telling me I don't know what to pray for as I ought. Maybe he wants me to move to Omaha. I've always used Omaha before I knew you guys. I don't know why. Maybe he wants me to move to Omaha. Okay? Well, Omaha's okay. I don't have anything against, plus or minus, against Omaha. But there's nothing born in me at the new birth that says, thou shalt move to Omaha. It is my plan that thou goest to Omaha. The new nature is a perfect guide when it comes to morality and when it comes to many, many, many decisions in your life. But the new nature is not statistical. It does not give you information like, go to a street called Straight, or inquire of a house of a tanner. What else, you know? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He is another person. He has information that your spirit does not have. Okay? And here, we're told for sure he knows the plan of God. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Dave has Rembrandt and Picasso in his teachings on this mind of the Spirit. What is the mind of the Spirit? It's the overall plan of God, the 6,000 or 7,000 year plan of God. Whatever amount of time man has really been on earth, God has a mind. He has an overall plan for that whole thing. Parts of it we've seen in history already. Some of it still to come, like the new heavens, new earth, and all of that. There's this whole plan of God. The Holy Spirit was there with God. Well, he is God. Now, here's a mystery that still, if I think about it too much, my brain starts leaking out my left ear. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three separate and all three one. But God the Holy Spirit knows the plan as much as the Father knows the plan. They're both God. He knows that plan, the whole thing. He knows the 120 years Gary's going to live in it, and he knows my particular little part in that plan of God. He knows my piece of the Gary piece of the puzzle right there. See? Right there. Gary might be trying to put it in over here. It won't work. I might cut my piece all weird. It won't. There's the Gary place. God has a plan. All right? So the Spirit, he makes intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that. See, and that's what makes verse 28. It only makes sense if you leave it in the context. Where I grew up, they'd always lift that verse out, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Like, forget all these verses that led up to that. That car wreck that happened that killed your wife and children, that's part of God's plan. That's the devil! It's not part of God's plan, and it's not for your good. Now, God will take whatever the devil meant for evil, and He'll turn it to good. You give God lemons, I'll tell you, He'll make lemonade out of them every time. But how you can know everything's working for good is when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to make that intercession for you. You can know everything He's praying. He is putting Gary right in the Gary place in the puzzle. Man, that's good. Let's go pray, see? Hallelujah. So that's when you know that all things are working together for your good. Praying in other tongues. Now, verse 29. For whom... there's a four. Four meaning, right along with my teaching here. He's going to give an example of this. For whom He did foreknow. Who is that? Hold your place. You like the laws of meditation? You like assimilation? Hold your place there. Come right over to chapter 11. See, we're about to get into chapters 9, 10, and 11, where he's primarily talking about God's relationship with the Jews. He's introducing that thought here right now. But who is it that God foreknew? He uses almost identically the same wording over here. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He what? Which He foreknew. He's just talking about the people like Abraham, Noah. You could take Hebrews 11, all of the saints, you know, and there's a lot more than just that list. But all of those people who existed, lived their life out before the cross, whatever revelation they had, even Job knew, my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter days, He shall stand upon the earth. He had a revelation of the Christ. He had a revelation of the Redeemer. These men and women that existed and lived before the cross, God had a plan. God had a mind. And it's part of that overall total plan of God. What He calls here the mind of the Spirit for the whole overall plan. Well, He had a plan for them because they had no opportunity to be born again, even though they were trusting in the coming Savior. So what, was God just going to let them stay in hell until till the cross? No. We know from other scriptures He had prepared a place that sometimes called paradise, sometimes called Abraham's bosom. And it's a waiting place. It's that same place where Lazarus went. You know, the rich man in Lazarus? He went to Abraham's bosom. The mind, the plan of God for all of those whom He foreknew was to go there and wait out the centuries in a, I'm sure it was a type of heaven. It's got to be a pretty nice place. Until the firstborn came. Because He tells you in this verse, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Boy, there's been all kinds of false doctrine with that word. That word really only means He made a decision before the foundations of the world that He will never change. What was God's plan for man in the beginning? Three times in two verses. In the image of God created He them. Male and female. In the image of God. In the image of God. God's plan for man from the beginning was that man would be made in the image of God. So here he hasn't varied from that plan. He also did predestinate whom He did foreknow. Well, that's all of those that believed in the coming Messiah before the cross whom He did foreknow. He predestinated them just like He's always predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son that He might be the first born among many brethren. And I love how Dave puts it. But they couldn't conform to that image until Jesus came and died and preached the gospel to them in that waiting place. Until He came, there was no image to conform to. There was no new birth available to them. They just had to trust in the coming promise. But one day, the promise stood in front of them. Preached the gospel to them. They were recreated right there. As soon as they believed, they were recreated. And it says, He led captivity captive. Brought them into heaven with Him. Boy, I bet that was a day. And connected with that thought, go listen to it, Our Glorified Bodies, by this new and upcoming preacher, Dave Roberson. Connected with that right there is why some of those people were walking around Jerusalem testifying. Hello, my name is Abraham. What? I recommend that series. Boy, got quiet when I said, y'all haven't heard that, have you? Come on, fess up. No, everybody shaking their head no. Well, you see if you can listen to it without having a running fit. Don't be driving. My car, I'd have angels protecting me on the road there. He did predestinate. Well, of course, he's always predestinated that his children on earth, his man and woman, would be conformed, made in the image of God, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, those same people, them he called, whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And that happened when Jesus came and preached the gospel to them. They were born again, and he took them with him as he ascended to the Father. Man. But see, now there's a different plan. Paul, this same Paul, he says of himself, okay, let's say it this way. So a believing Jew who died before the cross, where did he go? He went to this place called paradise. He waited out the centuries. But Paul says after the cross, he says to depart and be with who? Be with Christ. To depart and be with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, the plan has changed. That doesn't happen now when you die. You don't go to some waiting place. The plan has changed. So the Holy Spirit now would not be interceding that when you die, you go to paradise or you go to Abraham's bosom. Now, no, you go to heaven now. You go directly. You get reborn here. You're ready to go. So the plan changes. And I don't know what all's coming. God does. The Holy Spirit does. So that's why it says the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for the saints according to the mind of Christ. Let's get it back. I want to say it exactly. Verse 27, he that searches the hearts. What does that mean? He that searches the hearts. Let's take Gary back in the trucks. Gary is just now listening to all of these messages by Pastor Dave Roberson, trying to understand. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Last time I did that, I said the quickest knife in the drawer. And I said, see, prove my point. But I am a persistent rascal, you know. And once I just understood this part, if I'm praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying God's plan for my life. Well, I certainly don't know God's plan. I think I'll let the Holy Spirit pray it. I got that much. And I began praying in the Holy Ghost. Began allowing the Spirit to make that intercession for me. I didn't know what to pray. How would I know to pray? Lord, give me a website that touches the world. Oh, for crying out loud. I didn't even know I was called to the ministry. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit, as I would allow him, he began to make intercession for me. He found, he knows what the Gary piece is in the puzzle. He knows what the plan of God is. The overall thousands, many thousands of years, down to the 120 years or so that I live, and even more so than that, his particular plan for Gary Carpenter. He that searches the hearts. He was searching my heart to see if I had a clue. Nope. Boy is clueless, doesn't know a thing, thinks he's a truck driver. He doesn't know nothing. He's going, I searched the heart. Lights are on. Nobody home. He started making intercession for me. I don't have any idea what all was said between him and my spirit. Part of me would like to know. But my understanding, little by little, by little, by little, by little, came online a little bit more. Love your wife? What? Love your wife? Okay. Do the dishes? What? Take her out to eat? What? You love her? You love me? No, anyway. I'm having fun. Can y'all tell I'm having fun? All right. Because he that searches the heart, see, he's searching to see if you know the plan. If you don't know it, well, that now he hit that. He's got his assignment, doesn't he? And he'll begin making intercession because he knows. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows that overall plan. And he will make intercession for you according to the plan of God. Is that good stuff or what? Again, I highly recommend to you not just those few series that I held up there. I mean, listen to all of them. It's more exciting than television. It's more thrilling than movies. And I'm telling you, as you start incorporating those things into your life, when you really start hearing from God, life becomes an adventure because it becomes scary. move to Tulsa. No, no, move to Tulsa. What do we do there? Just move to Tulsa. I will tell you after you get there. I've got people that moved here from Nebraska. They don't know the whole plan, but they heard enough. Move to Tulsa. Well, Abraham had to do that. Gary had to launch out without knowing, having a clue what God was going to do with us. Dave did the same. But the first step, you can do it just right now. Well, not right now. I'm preaching right now. But you can do it anytime this year. Just start praying in other tongues. Allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you. There is a plan for each and every one of us. I know there's pieces. We're there. And he's got, it already exists. You don't have to figure it out. Just pray it out. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to quit. Can you tell I have the DNA in me? Make sure the DNA's in you, okay? You may not. His gift in me is to make that simple. That's a teaching gift. That's all it is. There is nothing that I understand that you can't understand. That every believer is called to understand all of these things, whether you can communicate it to somebody else or not. You can walk in it, and that's what matters. Amen. Okay, I got to quit. Hallelujah.